Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today what America needs most. What America needs most. The question may be asked, what's the greatest need in America? It's certainly not another fraudulent election. It's certainly not trying to place our trust and confidence in government rather than in God. Our greatest need today, what America needs more than anything else, is a rediscovery of the Word of God, a turning back to God's Word from the pulpits, from the pews, from a national level. We need revival in our nation if there's any hope, any desire, any opportunity to deliver America, to save America. I believe we have Tom on the line. Tom, go with the question. Comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood. Thank you, sir, for taking my call. You are so spot on about the leaders that we have, and what we really need is to turn back to God.
Yes.
Without it, we already know what's going to happen. The leaders are going to get more corrupt. They're eventually going to bankrupt this nation, which will lead to a worldwide collapse, and that will bring about the Antichrist and his brutal rule. But the question I want to ask you is, isn't this really between God and the Jewish people, that he sent them Hitler, and they didn't pay a bit of attention? They mourned, but as far as turning back to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, no. They never realized they were being judged by God. And isn't this really true that till the Jews turn back to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you're going to have all of this destruction in the earth and nothing's going to change? Am I looking at this wrong?
Yes, slightly. It is until America in general, Gentile and Jew, until we turn back to God, recognize God, realize, according to Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11, which is the parenthetical inset with God speaking through the Apostle Paul about the Jewish nation. In Romans 11, 25 and 26, for example, it says, "And all of Israel shall be saved." That's the Jewish people. That's future tense, after the years of the Antichrist on the scene, where two-thirds of the world's population will have been destroyed by that time. And then a footnote commentary on that is Zechariah chapter 12, verse 7 and following, where in the days that it seems like the Jewish people will be eviscerated, annihilated, totally destroyed, they will recognize Yeshua Messiah and will turn to him. During the days of the tribulation, after the church is raptured out, 144,000 virgin male Jewish evangelists will be preaching the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ, where millions will be saved during the days of the tribulation. But it'll be those that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, according to Matthew chapter 24, verse 14 and following. It's after that has taken place that then there will be a turning. But it's not just the Jewish. We're watching today the progressive judgment hand of God on America, and it's because we have forgotten God, we've rebelled against God, we've rejected His word, we've rejected His Son, we've refused to be obedient and submissive to the God of the Bible. This is the reason we have such immoral, ungodly, unholy things taking place in our nation today, is because we've forgotten God. So absolutely what is taking place today is watching the deterioration of the morals and the ethics and the values. We're watching the deterioration of the warp and the woof of society as a result of destroying any reference to the Word of God or the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the reason we're seeing so many churches closing in America today, is because we've forgotten God. We've refused God. We've refused to allow the name of Jesus in the public forums. We've refused to allow prayer in Jesus' name in public meetings. We've refused to allow people like Joe Kennedy that was here in South Florida that would bend his knee and pray to Jesus at the conclusion of each game. The Supreme Court finally gave him relief, however, but it's happening across America today as a result of that. Hope that answered your question.
Thank you. Yes, Dr. Youngblood, that's an excellent answer. That solves it. It's he loves the whole world. He wants to see the whole world saved.
Absolutely. But God is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but his long suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance, the scripture says. And it is the fact that God loves us, and out of his love, mercy, and grace, he is desiring that we all say yes to him as Savior. However, all will not be saved. That's a volitional choice for man, that man can make the decision to say yes to Christ or refuse and reject him totally. Tom, thank you so much for your call, brother. Keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. I believe we have Derby on the line. Derby, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes. I'd like to talk about the red wave, which I say took place all over the country. Now, it showed best in Florida only because we have better, though not perfect, election laws, and because DeSantis is the best governor in the country. Now, the red wave did not take place in other states, key states and the populous counties, not because of Trump, but because Democrats control those states and they control the voting, how to vote and how to count the votes. And they cheated again. It's that simple. So it bothers me when the media and Republicans, many of them, say, oh, Fetterman won. No, he didn't win. He cheated.
Yes.
And Oz should not have conceded so quickly. So I have little
respect.
Oh, you're
exactly right. That was a shock to me. If I can jump in, Derby, okay. I think it was a sham, a shame, and a disgrace for Dr. Oz to jump in so quickly and surrender and give a concession speech when, as you said, I don't have any inkling, any idea, any way to fathom that somehow, some way, John Fetterman won an election. It was fraudulent. And it goes back to your premise that you made the statement to begin with. It's what we find in the blue states, especially in the battleground states where they don't know how to count a ballot. It's an amazing thing. So, in fact, years and years and years ago, and it's an old statement, you're probably familiar with it, it's not the vote that counts, it's the one that counts the votes that makes the difference.
There
That's what
go.
We see taking place.
Also, I'd like to say that I'll go back to it. Anyway, the ones that I blame are McConnell, McCarthy, and McDaniel. If they had worked as hard as Trump worked to elect Republicans, we would have overcome even the fraud.
Yes. Mitch McConnell is a snake, if you please. Mitch McConnell is not a conservative. Mitch McConnell is not a true, what we would call, conservative Republican. Mitch McConnell is bought and paid for, owned, and a puppet out of China. Mitch McConnell did not want a red wave.
Of course. But even so many Republicans and so many news commentators that you think are conservative, they are attacking Trump and blaming Trump for
yes.
everything. Now,
yes.
concerning the DeSantis-Trump bad. That is nothing. I mean, Trump likes to talk a lot and is careless. Trump loves DeSantis. DeSantis would not be governor without Trump's help.
That's right. That's right.
So that is something that the media and the rhinos promote in order to divide the Republican Party.
You're right. They're stirring it up.
It's the media.
It's
a piece of crap.
It's the media. It's the media.
And we need alternatives.
Yes, absolutely. Derby, you're right on target. In fact, I read one of your commentaries the other day. Was very, very, very pleased with your analysis and insight on it. So thank you, thank you, thank you for your input today on the broadcast.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Pastor Davis and I are talking today about America's greatest need. What is the greatest need in America? We're laying the foundation, and we've elongated it, but we're laying the foundation of what we see taking place in a nation when we're trying to place our trust and confidence in man, while we're trying to place our trust and confidence in government and the governmental system called elections. I'm looking at an article that says, a few post-election thoughts, our tumultuous future. Americans are suffering through the most crushing economic conditions in decades. Rampant crime, endless infusion of drugs across the southern border, reckless foreign nuclear war flirtations, the most perverse assaults on the family and parental rights in all of history, and topped off by an embarrassing, senile, unpopular disaster in the White House. He leads with bellicose pronouncements as he shows indifference to the ordeal he is inflicting on the working American people. And yet, American voters largely chose to continue on the same path. How do we figure that out? One of my dear friends, this writer says, in Washington, D.C., wrote me right after the election results. He wondered how someone like John Fetterman, a man who's never worked a job in his life and who faces enormous health problems that could kill him at any moment, won the U.S. Senate seat away from the highly articulating Dr. Oz. Quote, my biggest frustration is obviously there was no red wave, he said, given how deplorable Biden's politics are and what an absolute wreck he has made of our economy and our country. If voters didn't repudiate that with new relationships and leadership, then when would they ever do so? Just how bad do things have to get before we can see any results and reactions against it? The left keeps harping about save democracy. What's more essential to the preservation of the republic than being able to identify major problems in society and selecting new leaders that can fix them, end quote. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me just get to the very, very essence of the point where we ask the question, what America needs most. We must turn back to God. We must rediscover the Bible. We must seek God's face, confess our sins, confess our nation's sins, and ask God to heal our land. May I say, ladies and gentlemen, if you believe this is true, then, ladies and gentlemen, if you believe that we need that, I can simply say this. If I believe that it's time to stop these things, here's what I think we need to stop. We need to stop the sodomite agenda, the LGBTQ agenda in our schools. We need to put a stop to teaching our children to hate God and to despise America. We need to put a stop to the assault on the family and the public display of our faith and the destruction of our family and our freedom. We must put a stop to the murder by way of abortion in America. We must put a stop to the rampant drug use and the deaths via legalized marijuana in our nation today. And ladies and gentlemen, the only way that is possible is through turning back to the Word of God. Now, Pastor Davis is with me. Pastor Davis, let me ask you to do this. Turn in your Bible to 2 Kings chapter 22. 2 Kings chapter 22. Ladies and gentlemen, this is an awesome, awesome, absolutely beautiful text to illustrate very vividly and poignantly what I'm talking about today. If you forget everything else that we've said, I encourage you to listen very carefully to what we're about to say in relationship to the text that is before us. In 2 Kings chapter 22, we find a phenomenal event that takes place. Pastor Davis in 2 Kings chapter 22, read for us about the first two or three verses and then drop down to verse 8 and read that for us.
Amen. 2 Kings 22 and 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adiah of Boscath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left.
Now drop down to about verse 8.
Okay, verse 8. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest had delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king.
Pastor, that is probably the most phenomenal, inspiring, awesome text, I believe, in all the Bible. And ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the need today to turn back to the Bible. We need to rediscover the Bible. And when you study this text, ladies and gentlemen, it's a wonderful, wonderful chapter. There's 20 verses in the whole chapter. And the point is, here's a young man. I call him the boy king. He was a very young man, about 8 years old, when he came into the kingship of the nation. And they rediscovered the Bible. Picture this. The temple was in ruins. The temple was in decay. It had not been, nobody paid attention to the spiritual elements of society for quite some time. And when they went in and discovered the Bible, it was then read to the king. And when the priest read it, they read it to the king. And the balance of the text, Pastor, you find when the king heard the Bible being read, when they rediscovered the Bible, when they read it, it brought about a ready heart to apply what the Bible says, and great revival took place in the nation as a result of that.
Amen.
So as we look at the text, ladies and gentlemen, what's needed in America today is the rediscovery of the Bible. Perhaps you say, well, we don't need to rediscover the Bible. We already have it. Yeah, you might have a Bible on your library shelf. You might have a Bible on your coffee table. You might have a Bible that's on top of the refrigerator. You might have a Bible that's on the deck shelf in your car, gathering dust and being curled up by the sunshine through the car glass. But let me say this. We need to rediscover it, not just in having it placed in a public display. We need to rediscover the Bible, and what the Bible says, what the Word of God says, ladies and gentlemen, makes all the difference in the world as to the trajectory and the different direction that we're taking America.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to stop the teaching, the secularization, the sexualizing, the weaponizing, and the recruitment and the grooming of our kids in school, we need to turn back to the Bible. We need to not only rediscover the Bible in our churches, in the pulpits, and in the pews in our churches, we need to rediscover the Bible and reinstitute the Bible and allow the Bible to be placed back into the public schools. Pastor, I'm looking at an article that's exciting to me. Court says, In God We Trust is constitutional in Tennessee schools. The freedom of publicly express your faith in making an unprecedented comeback across our country. After decades of hostility to religion, the tide is finally turning, and there's a renewed hope for religious freedom in America. A shining example is a federal district court's decision earlier this year that upheld the constitutionality of the words "In God We Trust" motto in the Tennessee schools. The decision explains, listen, ladies and gentlemen, here's the decision in short. Quote, the entire display in which the poster of the national motto is situated itself contains no religious symbols or references, and as such, reflects no intention on the part of the school defendants to establish or to promote religion. It is not coercive, and it does not involve any excessive entanglement of government institutions and religion. Further, it states, in this year's landmark win, Kennedy versus Bremington School District, by the way, that's in South Florida. However, the Supreme Court set a major precedent, affirming that the government cannot censor private religious expression, public or private. Pastor, I find that refreshing. And speak to that for a moment. what would happen if our schools were allowed to teach the Ten Commandments, if our schools were allowed to have Bible reading again in schools. I can recall back less than 100 years ago when I was in public school, the teacher would stand and read the Bible every morning. We'd have a pledge to the flag every morning. The students were assigned a scripture memory verse that we had to stand and express the next morning in classroom. We need to turn back to those days when you've got the Ten Commandments that can train a child and direct a child. What are your thoughts? What's your take on that? What do you say to our listeners today in relationship to the need to rediscover the Bible?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, in the present time that we're living in right now, we find a famine of the Word.
Yes.
Basically. It's very much needed.
Mm-hmm.
As you and I said, both of us are less than 100 years old.
Yes.
Praise God for that.
Amen.
Amen. But I can remember, even during my time coming up through elementary school and going forward, every day started out with devotion, what we call devotion.
Yes.
We had to say the pledge. We had to say the preamble, you know, the different things. We had to read a Bible scripture. And then we had to pray.
Yes.
Before the teacher came and started teaching the lesson for the day.
That's right.
We need that.
Need it badly.
That's what's missing in our schools today. When these things are put into practice, Dr. Youngblood, it gives the student, a child, a sense of what morals are all about.
Morals, ethics, and values.
Amen. Because if they do it at the school, I'm pretty sure 9 times out of 10, it's also been done at the house because our parents taught us to pray and read the Bible at home. So if that continued when you got out in the schools, then that would carry over into not only your academic life, but it would also carry over into your public life. And this is what is missing. We have been robbed, Dr. Youngblood, of these things on today, and this is what causes our kids to turn to other things.
Yes.
Drugs and sexual promiscuity and all these other things, and then they look to other things for the answer to the problems that they are facing in life. But we have to realize it's a dangerous thing for us to turn away from God, because if we go to back to the book of 1 Samuel, when Israel wanted a king, God told them, in essence, I really want to be your king, but since you are asking for a king, let me tell you what you're going to get along
with that.
He's going to make your sons and daughters slaves, in other words.
That's right.
He's going to take advantage of them. He's going to take your crops out of the fields for himself.
And he did.
All these other things. And I'm just not going to go through that for the sake of time.
That's right.
But then we need to know and understand God has already forewarned us what will happen if we turn away from him. And I'm afraid that because we are seeing this adversity in society on today, that's a direct result of us turning away from him.
Absolutely. The further we get away from God, the more we're going to find the diminishing of anything that's called morals, ethics, and values. In fact, Pastor, I'm looking at an article that says, "Why Revival in America is Our Only Hope." The article reads this way. The results are in. America's stage 4 cancer has metastasized to the family and the church, as well as to the government and our schools. We are more depraved than ever before. Animals are guarded, but innocent children are slaughtered in the womb. Porn is protected, and sex trafficking is on the rise. Further, the article reads, America thinks that she is hearing from God, but she is not. We're drowning in a cesspool of moral filth when wicked freely parade and prance about while their evil is praised throughout the land. Recently, a father was arrested for referring to his biological 14-year-old daughter as she after she transitioned to a male gender. Most of the liberal left, who have no problem imprisoning anyone who disagreed with them, and that's exactly where the Equality Act is going. Unless you accept, rejoice in, and validate sin, they are coming after you. Revival is our only hope, this writer says.
Amen.
We see throughout the Bible there's only one remedy, one solution, one cure to reverse the judgment of God, revival. During times of crisis, the cure for judgment was to return back to God, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the elders and all inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God. And the cry was the cry out and cry out to the Lord. And he's paraphrasing the quote from Joel chapter 1, verse 14. Further, this writer states, and I read, revival changes a nation from inside out. Benjamin Franklin, commenting on George Whitefield's preaching, said this about the revival sweeping the land. Quote, It was wonderful to see the change soon made in the manners of our inhabitants. From being thoughtless or indifferent about religion, it seemed as if all the world were growing religious. Revival must begin in the pulpits as well as in the pews in America. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you want to see the end of the sodomite lifestyle. You want to see the end of the pushing of your sons and daughters and grandkids in the public school into an immoral lifestyle. If you want to see the, quote, a transsexual movement, the transitions that's being pushed by Joe Biden and others, we need to turn back to the Bible. We need to have pastors in the pulpit and people in the pews that's willing to take a stand and say, thus saith the word of God. Pastor, turn to Deuteronomy, the sixth chapter, and read for our listeners what God's admonition is for parents in relationship to teaching their children. Then we're going to look at a text in Revelation that will wrap up the thought in relationship to what we need to do. Read verses 5, 6, and 7.
Amen. This is the word of God. And he said, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day. Now, when you hear something that's a commandment, that means you got to do it whether you want to do it or
not. That's right.
It's commanded by God, amen, the supreme ruler, amen. He said, shalt be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up.
In other words, what God says to the nation of Israel, which is applicable to us today, is that as parents and families, moms and dads, we need to teach our kids the Word of God. We need to make sure that they hear the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God and adhere to that. Ladies and gentlemen, that's our own hope. We're talking about the greatest need in America today is to rediscover the Scripture. And Pastor Davis, turn quickly to, and we'll wrap up with this, Revelation chapter 2. And read verse 5. We were going to read verses 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Just read verse 5.
Amen. Verse 5. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent.
Yes. God speaking, the Lord Jesus speaking to the church at Ephesus, they're admonished to remember where you've fallen. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to remember where we were as a nation, when we were birthed as a nation. Remember what God has done. We need to repent. That word repent means change your heart, change your mind, change your direction. We need to have a change of direction in America today, ladies and gentlemen. And we need to return to the first works, the scripture says. Ladies and gentlemen, the only hope we have in America today is revival, and that is through the written, revealed, inspired word of God. We need to reestablish, to rediscover the Word of God in our nation today. That's the only hope that we have.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on this broadcast. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Augustine wrote, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly 9 to 10 for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.